Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me okay? I'm a little hoarse in the throat with a little cough. Give me thumbs up if you can hear me. Yes, thank you. All right. Let's see. Let me change my name. I am Coach Kathy. We have the amazing Julie Hanks, Coach Julie, who I'm going to promote right now. She will be with us in the Q&A and in the chat. She'll be supporting me and you as we work through our call tonight. So let's give some people a chance to come in. I'm so glad to be here, you all. I was very honored to be asked to do this call for you. I'm currently in a training all about the nervous system and resilience with your nervous system and feeling your feelings and all the things. So we're going to talk a little bit about that first. Julie will be talking to you in the chat in all caps, as we always do here in No BS. She is a very wise woman, y'all. So pay attention. Pay attention when she chats. I'm also going to invite you to really focus in and pay attention to this call and not use the chat so much as, hey, I'm from Wisconsin and things like that, okay? This call is super important. And I would like to invite you for sure to think about anything in your life that has you upset, whether it's today's news, the news of the day, loss of a loved one, inability to have children, whatever it is that creates in you a sense of, nervousness, anxious, upset. Okay. So the tools that we'll talk about in this call will be applicable to any of those kinds of circumstances. Okay. As I said, Julie's going to be in all caps. She'll also be in the Q&A if you have any questions. Julie, feel free to leave me any questions you want me to answer if any come in. Y'all, the ragweed is righteous in Nashville right now. So if I cough, I may mute myself. You just keep on talking. All right. If we're coaching, you just keep talking because I can hear you. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here we go. This call is about feelings. Okay. We're not going to walk away with shiny new thoughts tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to get to know what's going on inside of our bodies so that we can create a sense of well-being within ourselves. So I'm going to start this call with a little bit of exercise, a little exercise that I do quite frequently, that I teach my clients to do, that I'm going to bet Julie does now and then. I've talked about it in Ask Coaches. It's going to help us kind of center and ground and become really calm as we approach the coaching in this call tonight, okay? So I want everyone to put your hands right here. It's kind of center of the chest, but you can move it over to your heart just a little bit if you want to. Press in just a little bit, just a little bit. You should feel like someone is giving you a warm hug. Yes, Denise, it feels like I'm hugging myself. Okay. So just press in, and I want you to take three deep breaths. Okay. Inhale. Exhale. If you can make the exhale just a little bit longer than the inhale, you get bonus points, okay? Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Now, repeat after me. Say these words. Right now, on this call, in this moment, I am safe. I can figure this out. I can feel what I'm meant to feel. I am taking care of me. I love you. That last one is so important. How often do you tell yourself you love yourself? Right? Okay. Like I said, this is an exercise that I do quite frequently for myself in order to, if I feel anxious, if I feel fear, if I feel angry, I will press in and I'll talk to myself in very loving and compassionate ways in order just to take the temperature down a little bit. Okay? It did feel good, didn't it? All right. So as I said, we as humans suffer. We suffer every day. We suffer loss. We suffer fear. This call is all about learning how to feel those things without judging them, without denying them, allowing us to be perfectly human. Okay, that's what we are. We are humans. We're going to feel all the feels. Okay. All right. I want to talk really quickly about the nervous system because I think this is really important. Jane goes over this a little bit in the Trusting Your Body course, but I wanted to tell you what happens with your nervous system in a very, very basic way. This is not like nervous system 101, y'all. This is like super duper nervous system kindergarten, okay? When you are feeling, I drew you a picture. When you are feeling things like calm, confident, assured, see if I can get this over here, productive, you're at home base, okay? Home base is not a place, y'all. It is a zone. It is an area, okay? It's not that magic place that you land when you feel good about everything. It is an area in which you can feel regulated, powerful feelings, okay? When you become activated, agitated, anxious, scared, you're going to move a little bit above home base. That means your body might feel a little bit differently. It won't feel as calm and grounded. It might feel a little bit more agitated, might feel a little bit more nervous. I can tell when I'm anxious because my skin gets prickly. I can tell I'm above home base. Normal. Totally, totally normal. That is your nervous system saying, wait, something is a little off. I need to add some energy to the situation. Okay. Also, we can go below home base. Some feelings that I feel when I'm below home base might be sad or lonely or bored, even a little bit of depressed. That's okay too. That's part of the human experience. Corinne talks about the 50-50, right? So we're a little bit below home base, maybe when we feel feelings like that. What your nervous system will do for you, because your body loves you so much, is it will try to regulate. It will try to bring you back to home base whenever it feels like you're not there, whenever you feel even a little bit safe. Does that make sense, everybody? Give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up if you are on board with what I'm saying. All right. Awesome. So what we want to do when we feel feelings that take us off of home base is we want to bring them in. We want to understand what we're feeling. We want to accept what we're feeling because that allows us to regulate and come back to home base. That's like step one of coming back to home base. Makes sense, right? Now, as we work through some of the coaching tonight, we'll be here for about an hour. As we work through some of the coaching, you'll see some of the tools that I help people with that bring us back to home base. How's that sound? All right. So let's see who we've got. I know I have one hand raised. If you want coaching tonight, I would encourage you to go ahead and raise your hand. I've got two hands. So let's see what we got. Mary Elizabeth, you're going to be first. See if I can get you pulled up here. Here she comes. Can you turn your camera and your microphone on, pretty please, if you want to be coached?
How's that?
Oh, I can hear you. I can't see you yet.
All right. So you're, okay. There we go.
Hi. I remember you. We've talked
of
before.
Of course.
How are you?
I'm okay. I was just reading this, and one of the things I find, what you're saying to me, I just lost you. The thing is, I have a very tough time right now, not because of the seasons, but I don't find myself, I'm not able to grieve. It's been a long time. I lost my sister. I come from a family of seven, and I'm the first of the three girls. So we're like a year apart. And she's like my best friend. And she passed very suddenly. She took a fall, fell back, and she never regained consciousness. So I had to fly out to Arizona, and she was on life support. And that was the toughest thing for me ever have to go through. And, you know, we took her off, to make a long story short. Then we moved her to hospice. And I've never gone through this or been there, but I was by myself except for my niece and nephews. And it was just one of these freaky things. And she had come east to visit me. And then she had a class reunion that she's never attended to. So we had a great time. And then she left me. And then in November, I get a phone call from my niece telling me she fell. And they had to airbag my sister to Phoenix, Arizona. And they had to do an emergency surgery because she had pressure on her brain, what have you.
Sure.
But it was a tough thing for me to have to witness and go through. And when I came home, I lived by myself. My siblings are out of state. And it's just painful. And I haven't really let it go because she passed away the day after her birthday, which is the 16th. And it was the 17th. And she went peacefully. And we were there with her. And the last thing that I saw was she had a tear coming down her cheek. And I guess that's her way of saying to me, it's okay, you know? And I couldn't believe it, you know? And it was like, it was so beautiful, but I relived this like it was yesterday. And I have a therapist, for other things once a week, but I just can't get past this at all. I lost
my dad. What do you
think?
Tell me, Mary Elizabeth, tell me what you think you need to get past.
I guess what I'm asking is the grieving. It hurts so much deep down inside of me. And I just, emotionally, I just can't, I can't accept that she's gone, number one. Number two, I'd give anything to have her back. And I think this is what I am dealing with the longest.
So let me ask you this. Why would it be normal for you to want her back?
I guess because of the situation, the way it happened.
Or maybe because you love her and because she's your best friend?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both. Yeah.
So if it would be perfectly normal for you to want her back and for you to not want to accept that she's gone, why can't you allow yourself that grace to understand those two things? I would love to have her back. I don't want her to be gone. Of course, I'm sad and grieving.
Yeah, it makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what
I would do, Mary Elizabeth. I would, hands on the heart, deep breaths.
All right.
Tell me her name.
Audrey.
Audrey. I miss you, Audrey. I love you, Audrey. I love myself enough to feel missing you and loving you. When I say those things, what do you feel?
I feel not so good, but it's a start.
You have resisted the grief, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You resist an emotion, it actually amplifies, okay? Because you add resistance to an emotion like grief or to an urge, you're actually amplifying the feelings in your body and the nervous system with the resistance. But okay. When you allow them from a compassionate, loving place, then you wipe the resistance part off and you're just left with the initial emotion. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would encourage you to talk to her and talk to yourself and allow both the grief and the love to come in, because I've said this many times. Y'all have heard me on other calls say, you wouldn't miss her so much if you didn't also love her.
True.
So if you push away the grief, guess what? You're pushing away the love too. You're not feeling anything. You're dismissing all of it. And I don't think that's what you really want, is it?
No, it's like an emptiness, a void.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
conducive
either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think deep down inside, just from talking to you, if there was something I could have done, I guess that's one of the things too that I'm dealing with, because she had problems and I couldn't stop her even if I tried, you know? So I think that's what this sad part is of it, you know? So I have to let her go. And I think that's the hardest thing for me to have to do right now.
You say I have to let her go. Is that true?
Well,
because she's still going to be in your memories. She's still going to be a big part of the person that you are now.
Much. Yeah. And I think it just comes from people around me that just don't understand, I guess. And they expect, you know, to get through it. But not in this case. There's just so many things there that, you know, I don't talk about.
I'll tell you, I've been studying grief quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
And I can tell you for sure that no one's grief path is the same. If someone tells you, oh, with time, it'll get better. No.
It does.
You need to follow your grief path. Okay. You need to allow it to be with you when it needs to be with you. And when you can set it aside and put it in the box, you can put it in the box. But you follow your path. Okay.
Okay.
That's so, so important.
Yep.
And part of your path is inviting in the feeling of grief and being okay with it, because ultimately you wouldn't grieve her if you didn't care about her and miss her and love her.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for raising your hand.
I thought it was a great call. So
good.
Someone popped in.
All right. You're welcome. I'll see you on the next call.
Absolutely.
It's good to see you, Mary Elizabeth. Thank you.
You too. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Marnie, you're next. Hello. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What are we coaching on?
I'm very new to the program. And I've been trying to ignore these calls just to stay focused, but yeah. We're really struggling this week. Mostly, I don't want this to be political or anything. I'm Jewish. I have my father is from Israel, and I feel like this week has brought up a lot of old trauma, and I feel very grief-stricken and also super lonely. And I know where it's coming from. I almost feel like I didn't realize what I was surrounded with. I don't know. I've been completely out of it and doing all the wrong things. And my nervous system is fried.
Well, tell me what doing all the wrong things means.
Scrolling, it's been the social media. Pretty much they both need to be deleted from my phone, I think.
Why is that wrong?
It's keeping me up at night. It's a lot of negativity. I can feel my heart beating faster. It's just kind of feeding what it's not helping me feel calm or even connected. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I started kind of trying to find people who I align with, because my little world didn't seem to be on the same page for some reason. And so I've just been trying to like connect. And, you know, social media has a way of connecting you, but then also exposing things that you just might not want to see in the moment. So there's been, you know, I already felt traumatized when I heard my father, who fought in a war in the 60s in Israel. I heard trauma in his voice, and it felt mm-hmm. like generational trauma was unleashed. That was before I saw any images or read any negativity. And so I've just been like doubling down on all that stuff.
Sure.
I don't think it's helped.
Looking for connection is one of the ways your brain tries to regulate.
Mm.
Okay. So it's so interesting for me to watch you all do different things subconsciously or consciously that your brain is offering you, because it's trying to bring you back down into closer to home base and connection. Searching for connection is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is totally normal. Of course you would, you know, it's almost like, if I get connection, I'll feel better. Oh, wait, I need to read this too. And I need to read this too. And I need to read this too. So my question to you is, how can you achieve connection without social media?
Yeah. So one of the things,
well, and let me back this up. I'm not saying I want everyone here to hear me say, I don't think social media is bad. Okay. What I'm referring to is Marnie has said social media is not working out for her. Okay. So that's why I'm asking. Yes. That's why I'm asking, if you're searching for connection, how can you do that outside of social media in order to create safety for yourself?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you ended that question with the word safety, because last night I did something in person in an effort to connect with other Jews mm-hmm. locally. And I felt afraid for my safety. True. Because there's like a massive uptick in anti-Semitism and violence and stuff. And I wanted to gather with people, but at the same time, they're waving flags and wearing things. And I just felt so unsafe and vulnerable. But at the same time, it was the first time in a week that I was able to be around people who were grieving similarly. And also, we knew the same songs, we spoke the same language. And so it felt comforting and then super unsafe. Like, yeah. I thought a bomb was going to drop any minute. So,
and I would say you're probably not alone in that. I mean, I have private clients who are struggling with some of the same things. They chose not to go to worship. They chose not to go to rallies because ultimately what their brains are doing when they make those choices is trying to find safety. Right. So for you, if connection is important, how can you achieve that without going into a situation that creates a lot of vulnerability for you?
I don't know. I mean, I did another thing. I'm part of a community from 25 years ago. We gathered on Zoom from, you know, they're in Israel. I don't know. And I've been on social media for, you know, a long time. I run my own business. I have used it and I've never felt even comfortable posting my views and opinions until Saturday.
So I don't want you to overthink this. It could be as simple as calling a friend, just having a conversation on the phone in the safety of your home. Meeting someone for coffee, calling up, I don't know if your dad's still living or your someone in your family, calling them up, creating a little connection there, just so that you can feel loved and accepted and safe through connection. It doesn't have to be some, you know, great big 200 person Zoom call or a, you know, a trip to the synagogue or your place of worship. It doesn't have to be that. It can be on a much smaller scale in an area that creates a less vulnerable situation for yourself. Because ultimately what you want to do, if your nervous system is seeking connection as its regulating tool, you want to give it that in ways that are okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I would hope is that, because I've been doing those things also, I've been doing all the things just in an attempt to regulate, I guess. I hope that if I just like up the connection over the phone or, you know, the one-on-ones, that will downplay my desire to connect with strangers on social media. Because it's such an addiction.
Well, I don't know if it's an addiction or not. That's I'll let you have your word. I think it's you just searching. It's you just searching for answers, searching for, and I'll use this word, y'all, 100 times on this call, searching for safety. Searching for regulation, searching for answers. We're problem solvers by nature. So we're going to get out there and we're going to try and solve the problem. We're going to try and figure out what the answer is. But you can do that in an environment that is more beneficial to you for sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Does that help? Yeah. What else you got?
I mean, I have lots of things. I don't know. I'm trying not to let this stop me from doing life. And, you know, I mean, what I'm in this program for, you know, not to get sidetracked, but I also feel like, does anything else matter? You know, that's kind of what's happening.
Well, that's a great question that I'd like you to answer. Does anything else matter? in Marnie's world right now?
I mean, so much matters.
You right. know,
the privilege I have of being able to even ask that question and be who I am and be a Jew and say that publicly. I mean, that is a massive yeah. privilege, and be healthy and take care of myself.
Absolutely.
So yeah, all of that matters.
Yeah. So I want you all to hear, everyone on this call, anyone listening to the replay, I want you all to hear that Marnie asked a question, does anything else matter right now? That almost sounds a little bit vulnerable, desperate, you know, uncertain. You have to answer those questions, y'all. You have to, because right now on this call, Marnie matters. Marnie's job matters. Marnie's weight loss matters. Marnie's friends matter. There's so many things in Marnie's life that do matter. And what you'll do, Marnie, is you'll probably, you know, connection is one of those things that's gonna create, you know, a better place for you, a more regulated state. Routine will too.
Mm.
Keeping your, you know, getting up, doing your regular routine. When you come out of routine, you create a little uncertainty. Your brain's like, what are we doing? Right? Think about the habit cycle, y'all. Our brains love it when we do the same things over and over. When you can stay in that kind of routine with work, with eating, with planning, with prayer, whatever it is that is part of your routine, you will also level out your nervous system response.
Do you think that, because lately I've been confused about what I'm doing, like I'm trying to work and I'm like, what am I doing next? Like, what do I do right now? Is that a nervous system?
Probably. Probably. Because you're in the back of your mind, then what's going on in the world today is distracting you from, you know, your regular routine. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing. It is just what's happening. Okay. So bringing yourself back into safety, you know, hands on the heart, you know, whatever it is, however it is that you create a more regulated nervous system for yourself will help you refocus and be able to move through your day. I'm not saying you should ignore anything that's going on, okay? But if you can compartmentalize it, if you can create pockets of time to study it, then you're also giving your brain an answer to, you know what, I'm going to think about that in a little while, and that's all right. It's kind of like the old worry bucket concept, right? I'm going to think 4 o'clock is my social media time. I'm going to do it for 10 minutes. I'm going to give myself that hit. I might watch the news. I might not. I'm going to decide how I feel at that time. And then I'll move forward and figure out what's next.
That's a good idea. I could put it in my 24-hour plan.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. You're welcome. See you soon.
All right. Do I leave?
No, I got you. I think I just changed you to attendee. Yep, there we go. All right. Virginia, you're next. Let's see. We'll try again. Well, for some reason, Virginia, it's not letting me call you up. Oh, here you come. Oh, declined. All right, Virginia, why don't you put your hand down for me then? Okay. Debbie, excuse me. Debbie, let's try Debbie Cole. Let's see if this one comes up. All right, here she comes. Get you unmuted and start your video. Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, I am not.
Come on, what's up?
a very long story. I'm going to try to really compress it for time reasons. I've recently gone through two hip replacements, and during them, I realized I have post-traumatic stress disorder from having pancreatitis 17 years ago. And I went through about a year of being in and out of the hospital, and then eventually had surgery on my pancreas. And what they told me is it was my blood pressure medicine that was causing this. So every time I go to the doctor, I now have wet coat syndrome, and so my blood pressure goes way up. Uh-huh. And this last surgery, I was like a crazy woman. And I've been trying to go through like the four N's and, you know, like, uh-huh. is this normal? And it's like, I think I need some help with my thoughts. Because, you know, it's like, it's definitely something that comes from deep inside. I don't know that's rational, but I'm thinking I can still talk to that part of me that is terrified. I'm not just fearful, I'm terrified. Sure. And I'm hoping this will help other people too, because so often, you know, it's like you just respond in fear rather than thinking through what you're actually afraid of. And yeah. So I was hoping you might be able to help me with that.
Yeah. So a couple of things first. Are you seeing a therapist for your PTSD?
No, but I was considering doing it because I've been in therapy before.
Yeah, I think I would. I'm not going to, you know, in a 20-minute call here, I'm not going to be able to talk you out of trauma or PTSD. Okay. And I wouldn't even try to do that. All right. That is something that I would love for you to take to a therapist. Okay. Many, many workplaces have employee assistance programs that help you find therapists. If you've had somebody in the past, I would certainly take that to them. Okay.
Okay.
But what we can do on this call is practice just bringing your temperature down a little bit, bringing your nervous system down a little bit. It's not going to heal the trauma. I want to be real clear about that.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, when you were talking about this, I thought about my own experience that I had. I don't know if you had know this. Earlier this year, I had a kidney stone procedure and ended up going septic and spent 6 days in the hospital.
Yes, so you understand pain.
I understand the fear when yes. it comes to a health related yes. situation. Okay. Yes. And you know, shortly after that, I was supposed to have knee surgery. I was supposed to do all these things. Anyway, long story short, I looked at my husband and I said, I don't think I can have my knee worked on now. I'm just not ready yet.
I agree.
And that's okay. That's what I want to tell you. If you have PTSD over pancreatitis, time in the hospital, all those things that result in you having white coat syndrome, mm-hmm. wouldn't that be normal?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that's what I've been telling myself, but then I don't know where to go from there.
I think you just accept that the PTSD is there.
Okay.
And you see a therapist to learn tools to help you heal the trauma.
Okay.
But for now, what you do, when you feel dysregulated above home base or below home base,
mm-hmm.
how do you take the temperature down? What is it that you do to move back toward home base?
Well, just recently I've been doing breathing exercises. It's like a square thing where you breathe in for four. And then I actually, because I'm an artist, so I can visualize things.
Yeah.
So I visualize myself creating it. Mm-hmm. That helps me a lot. But I've just now started looking for these coping mechanisms yeah. to help me, because I realized that I don't want to continue in my life with this type of fear or yeah. terror. And at my age, it's very rational to think I'll be in the hospital again. And I really want to be able to go in there without feeling as, what's the word you used?
Dysregulated.
Yes.
Maybe even activated. If you don't like the dysregulated word, you could use activated.
I was a crazy woman. I mean, that's
Julie. I'm going to talk.
I had the fight and flight syndrome. I just wanted out of there.
Of course.
It was, and then I was creating a more toxic environment than it needed it to be. you know.
All right, stop right there.
Okay.
That's we're normalizing your fear right now. Mm-hmm. We're not judging it. And what you just said is, look, I shouldn't be feeling this way. No, we're going to say, yes, you're allowed to feel any feeling. Okay. It's very important that you allow yourself to feel, because like I was telling Mary Elizabeth, if you resist the feeling, you're only going to amplify it.
And that's exactly what I was doing.
Exactly.
And now I know that. I didn't know it at the time.
Right. Now you know that. Julie, if you have a minute and can dig out that the link to the breathing, the No BS breathing, I can't remember what it's called. We have a like a No BSified breathing exercise sheet.
Okay.
It might be in the Trusting Your Body Toolkit, and it might be somewhere else. But what you described, Debbie, is called box breathing.
Yes.
Okay. Inhale, pause, exhale, pause, inhale, pause. What that does is it activates your parasympathetic nervous system, okay? Which helps regulate your nervous system and calm you.
Okay.
It's also good for pain. Box breathing helps pain. I've done it. I had some pretty bad TMJ once upon a time, and I was able to, I couldn't believe it. I was able to reduce the pain in my jaw with deep breathing and box breathing.
That's good to know.
Yes. But you have to be, Julie just posted the link, y'all, if you need it. And I'm
Thank
sure
you,
we'll put
Julie.
It in the show notes as well.
I see.
That's the kind of thing that you can do while you're seeking treatment for the trauma. Okay. While you're healing the trauma, you can keep your nervous system regulated, but don't ever, ever, ever tell yourself, I shouldn't be feeling this, or I hate to feel this, or I don't want to feel this. You have to allow yourself to feel in order to take the temperature down a little bit. It's almost like when you allow yourself to feel, you think about what it feels like in your body. So when I was talking about me feeling anxious, I always know when it's coming because my skin will start getting prickly. Then my heart will start to race. Then my breathing gets shallow. I get tense in my shoulders. That's my key that I'm getting anxious. And sometimes I don't know why. Most of the time, I don't know why. Because our feelings are stored in our bodies. They're here for us all the time. And something happens in the world. We have a thought. There is some kind of something that goes on that says we need to activate that anxiety again because we're looking, something is not safe.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
When you notice that, you say, sounds hokey as hell, y'all, but thank your body for talking to you. I notice, I hear you. Thank you. I love you. We're going to figure this out. We're working on this, you know, hands on the heart, pressing in, saying really compassionate things to ourselves and our emotions is so important if we want to live at least most of our time in a regulated state. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And I think I was listening to the whole call and hearing about the resisting. I find myself doing that a lot. I suspect many of us do.
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of us that fear emotion.
Yeah.
I can't handle, you know, depression. I can't handle anxiety. I can't, whatever. We fear emotion. When emotion is really just our bodies and our nervous systems having a conversation with us, telling us something's just a little bit off and we need a little help.
And I am getting better with that. I do not like to journal. And I am suspecting that it would really help me a lot if I would journal like this. Do you agree with that?
Again, if you're going to journal on the PTSD, I want you to do that with a therapist.
Yes.
But if you're going to journal just everyday journaling, a lot of times my go-to journal prompt is, I'm feeling this and here's why. So I could be feeling grateful, and here's why. The sun's shining. I have a job. I have friends. I love my husband. I'm feeling sad, and here's why. The sun's not shining. Whatever. I can't even think of reasons I would feel sad now. I have a cough. I didn't sleep well. You see what I'm saying? So you can
yes.
really start inching your way into journaling just by saying, you know, this is what I'm feeling right now and why. And the whys are going to be all the thoughts that create that feeling.
Well, cool I really appreciate you taking my call because I had just discussed with my husband that I thought I needed to see a counselor and you confirmed it. Because I had no idea that I had these until my surgery. I knew. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, you know, you might see a therapist once and be fine, or it may be more than that. But I just always think it's a good idea to take care of your mind and your body equally.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I You're so welcome. Appreciate you.
Okay. Take care.
I will.
All right, Linda. Let's see if she'll come up. Yeah, here she comes. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Sure.
I'm at a more perfect time. And first of all, I just do want to say, I'm so glad you're feeling better. Such a blessing, because when I first joined, you started and I was like, I need a recording of her so I could listen to her every night. Her voice is so soothing. But so long story short, I do identify with a lot of the people on this call. I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was the fifth anniversary of my mother's death. And so in Judaism, we light a candle, a yahrzeit candle. And just with everything going on, I was just so totally overwhelmed. And like I said, all of NoBS is such a blessing because I got the email reminder about this call. Just recently found out my cousin is over in Israel. He went over for the Jewish New Year. I don't know if he wants to stay because his kids and grandkids are there. But he's still there. My brother had just gone back from a bike ride through the country. He does a ride every year to raise money for environmental causes. His best friend, who I've known since high school, I call him my fourth brother. So long story short, there's a lot of touches to me. And I think with losing my mom so suddenly 5 years ago and then having the earth site and all, and to... Marnie, I forgot her name, but talking about that, yeah. It just overwhelmed me. And it's just so funny that everything you're saying I've done today. So people do not do this. I usually get up around 6:30, go for a walk or exercise. And I'm like, no, today I'm just staying in bed. So I've been kind of out of it all day long.
What's wrong with you staying in bed?
I just didn't want to get up. I had my flu and COVID shot. I was still a little sore every time I rolled over. I mean, there was like a million excuses.
But what's wrong with just, if that's what you needed, if that's what your body and your nervous system and everything needed, what's wrong with that?
Nothing really, but I guess, so I'm the type of person that I just think, I always try and portray the positive. That was one thing that my mom always tried to teach my brothers and I, like, yeah, you may have this, but someone else may have something. Like one of her favorite saying was, I cry because I had no shoes until I saw someone who had no feet. So it was always like, it could be worse, but in this situation, given my faith and the touches, I don't feel like it can be worse, but then I feel guilty for thinking that because there are people there. So.
All right. So let's just put it all in one.
Sorry.
I said, okay, no, this is fine. So you have your mom's example that you're working with. You try to stay positive. Let's just question that a little bit. Is it possible to be positive 100% of the time?
No. Even she wasn't.
Right. What does Corinne teach? Life is 50-50. And I'm going to give you a little clue. It's just like this, what I was telling Mary Elizabeth, you wouldn't grieve if you didn't also feel love. You wouldn't understand what positive was if you didn't also, you know, have some time on the other side. You wouldn't feel really good if sometimes you didn't feel bad. All of that is part of the human experience. Y'all, if we were not humans with human emotions and human urges and human habits, we'd have little wings and halos and we'd be flying around somewhere else, not on this earth. We are here to experience a human life. Okay? So when you feel bad, if your body needs rest, you stay in bed. Right?
Yeah, I don't think it was rest in the sense that I physically needed rest. I needed rest because I didn't want to get out and face the world. And I know that there's a difference with that. And that, to your point, though, Kathy, I think that is what I needed. It's not like I called in sick to work or didn't, you know, I went on with my day, but I just was so overwhelmed. And once again, this call could have come at a more perfect time. And I just, you know, and I, to your point, I just have to feel the feelings. I mean, I cried yesterday and I will start crying in a minute, but you know, that candle was not only for my mom, but all those people that have lost their lives just by the virtue of being there and knowing how close I could have been to losing a loved one again. But there are people that have lost loved ones. And so I don't want to take anything away from that. So there's always like this seesaw.
Yeah, I see that as a very loving and compassionate gesture. I don't see it as, you know, you should light a candle and you shouldn't. Okay.
Yeah.
My loss is worse than yours. You're giving a loving and compassionate gesture. That's all that is. And, you know, what's so interesting is you were talking about all the things that you tried. As we wrap up this call tonight, I was going to give you all a few other little tools to try.
Perfect.
You know, we've talked about connection. You've talked about rest. We've talked about breathing. We've talked about the hands on the heart. You know, there's so many different things that you can try that can help take the temperature down and help you find, you know, a more regulated state while you're worried, while you're fearful. You know, it's part of what we do as humans while you grieve, to feel these emotions, but we can feel them in a safe container as well, in a calm and safe container. So what you did yesterday was your brain and your body said, we're going to create safety right here in this bed. And this is where we're going to stay today. And I'm okay with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. Do you?
I mean, I don't, but then I feel.
All right, let me ask you this then. If I told you that's what I was going to do, would you be okay with it?
Sure.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I was questioning it because I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole and use it as an excuse. And so I kind of made a deal with myself. It's like, okay, you can read your book or you. So as long as I was in a sense, like, doing something and not just laying there ruminating about in the dark, you know, as long as I was doing something, I was resting my body, but at the same time, my mind was being active.
Did you like the way you handled that?
Yeah. I mean, cause it's not something I do all the time. Usually, you know, I'm up for the calls and all that, but I don't know. Sometimes, like you say, you just need to take care of yourself.
If it brought you a little peace and calm to sit in bed and read, then it was exactly what you needed to do.
Okay. I mean, and to the first, Mary Elizabeth, I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names, but I totally get what she's saying because there's no closure. It gets better over time. I mean, it's been 5 years and I still feel like my heart is ripped out of my chest the same second I found out. So I don't know why they say it gets easier because it doesn't.
Yeah. I actually, I don't know if you all know who Krista St. Germain is. She does a podcast for widowed moms. Okay. And so she is an expert in grief. And I've been listening to her podcast quite a bit. And the one I listened to today was her ranting. Basically she rants like I rant, which is not like Corinne rants, right? Saying, don't ever tell someone it gets better with time because a loss is a loss. It might feel differently at different times. It might not be as intense. It might be more intense. Everyone's journey is different, but you know, time doesn't heal all wounds. That's just that it just doesn't.
Yeah. But, and to your point, I knew there were times when I would see something or something would remind me of my mom and I'd laugh instead of cry. So I'm like, okay, I am taking a little bit of a better journey. And I don't know if it'd be appropriate to ask this or not, but I figured since we're here, I'd ask. Because I know there are some, you know, Jewish people and people in Israel. I don't know if it'd be appropriate maybe to create a Facebook group for us within No BS that we can share, or should we just keep it on the main Facebook group?
I can run that up the leadership team flagpole, but I think for now, just talk amongst yourselves in the Facebook group. And I think that, you know, that if that helps you create a little safety, that's fine. We just don't want to get super political.
Okay? Right. Exactly.
So, you know, I'm sure you can find that line there.
That's what I thought I'd ask. And so I'd say, hey, let's do this, because I know everyone does have different thoughts and feelings, but if anyone wants to reach out, I'm Linda Port, P-O-R-T, like dessert wine, sweet dessert wine. Oh. And so, you know, I'm happy to share any of my experiences. I don't have any answers, but I'm happy to share my experiences.
I just want to caution you. You don't want this group to become, you want this group to be supportive. You don't want it to be a place where people come in and complain or.
Okay. Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I've lost my word.
I don't want it to be a dumping ground, but yeah, I'm happy to support people if they need it or if they want to share, and I can help in any way. But I apologize for putting that out there. Maybe I misspoke.
No, you're fine. You can ask me anything. You got anything?
I appreciate it.
Got anything else to ask me? You want to stay on while I go through my list, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So, tools to help regulate your nervous system. Is everyone listening? All right, we've done the hands on the heart. We've talked about breathing. We have the resource in the Trusting Your Body Toolkit that helps regulate, gives you different ideas like tapping and things like that to regulate your nervous system. One that's not mentioned that my teacher talks about all the time is called ragdoll. Now, ragdoll is a yoga pose that some people may be able to do and some people won't be able to do. But basically what it does is it elevates your heart above your brain. All right. So if I were to do ragdoll right here, you'd see me stand up, bend over like I'm going to touch my toes and cross arms like that and just hang. Okay. What that does is it takes a lot of your blood flow, and it brings it back up to your brain. It nurtures your brain and your nervous system. If you are not, if you have a bad back or you can't do ragdoll for some reason, it's fine. Scoot your bottom up to a wall and put your feet up the wall. Same benefits. I've asked my yoga teacher husband. He says that'll work. Okay. And then just comfort yourself and breathe. A weighted blanket or an extra blanket on your bed. There's something about the weight on your body that is comforting. It's very similar to pressing into this heart space. Okay. We talked about communication. We talked about routine. Just check out that. Yes. Debbie Hansen has a weighted blanket. Check out that Trusting Your Body Toolkit. That'll help you create a little bit more of a sense of regulation, safety, whatever term you want to use when you're closer to or even at home base. The toolkit, we'll put the link to it in the show notes, but it is, if you go to the Trusting Your Body course page, you'll see the toolkit there. Let's see, we have one question. Did you leave this for me, Julie? Yeah, so this particular question is just an acknowledgement of all people who are suffering, okay? And I did this a little bit at the very beginning. We have people who are suffering because of war. We have people suffering because they can't bear children, because they're caring for elderly parents, because they are grieving, because they're in a domestic situation that is not tolerable for them. Suffering happens as part of our human experience. And when we suffer, our nervous system can activate. So using these tools can help. And let me just say this to you. When your nervous system activates, your conscious brain decreases activity. So using these tools helps you bring yourself back closer to home base, which then allows you to increase your conscious brain activity, which means you can make good decisions for yourself. How's that sound? Good? Everybody got that? There are a couple of people, several people I did not get to tonight. I apologize. If you would like to write in to Ask Coaches, I'm here all week. I'm happy to coach you there. Okay. Anything else? Is there anything else? I don't see any more Q&A. I'm going to call it. I thank you for coming. I care about all of you. Krista St. Germain, the grief coach, she ends all of her podcasts with, I love you. So I'm going to end my call with that too. I do love you all so much. I care about you. I care about your well-being. Okay. Have a good night. Create a little safety for yourself. Don't forget this. It works, y'all. It works. Bye now.